someone I don't know sent me a documentary that he had made about a group of seekers, and particularly about three different men, all of whom described the experience of having their ego self extinguished. What was so distinguishing about these guys was the absolute simplicity of their description, the lack of embellishment, the lack of ownership, and in a certain sense, the awe that they were feeling and expressing at the extraordinary transformation that had taken place. These are what you might call ordinary people. But one thing they had in common was that they really questioned what this world was and what they were doing in it. From early ages, in most cases really somewhere in their 20s, they started really questioning what this is. Each of them in their own way began to see what they referred to on some level as the futility of it all, that it all ends in death, that everything in a sense is wiped away, at least from their own sense of having participated in all of this. All the stuff you work for, you live for, you put together, in the end, in a sense, is lost to you. And the mere fact of that made them wonder, why am I doing it? What is this long and sometimes painful journey all about? And I have to say, there was an extraordinary sincerity in them. A sincerity based on a lot of life experience. One of them was a soldier in Vietnam and described what it was like to pick up dead bodies and how nothing was in it, how rubbery they were, how insubstantial. His own experience of being shot and wounded. A lot of them were older guys and they had kind of 1960s drug experiences. And a lot of them began looking for teaching, for teachers. And every one of them found somebody. And most of them found themselves struggling with the teachings. Most of them would have said to you at somewhere along the way, it doesn't work. The teaching doesn't work. And yet, another very distinguishing element was that they didn't accept that. They said, I've spent all of these years seeking, I'm not going to walk away without finding. And so almost every one of them returned to their practice, whatever it was, with what I would call an extraordinary and very earnest determination. Basically saying, I want the truth. I want the truth. Whatever the truth is, that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I am asking for. And that's what I don't want to leave this world without getting. the depth of their sincerity, the longevity of their pursuit, the hunger that kept rising in them and falling away and rising and falling away, but finally crystallizing, if you will, into a deep need, allowed each of them this very extraordinary event. And the event was so described in many different ways in the literature of awakening, but in a certain sense, the blowing out of a candle, or the realization one morning that they were not there, that they were seeing the world not through their eyes, but through the eyes of everything that sees, that they were as much looking back as looking out. And they would each try to describe this event in some particular way, none of it completely eloquent, but as simple and honestly as they could. And if you listen to their voices, they will almost all tell you, you will never find out what you're looking for from any information that you're getting from outside, including from them. They can't tell you how to do this, even though they can tell you in a way they think what they did. They can't tell you the answer. They can't wake you up. All they can tell you is you do what they did, which is be earnest, real, hungry, work at it, go in, do the work. They talked very much about the value of the effort, even though one of them particularly knew that his whole effort was to be effortless. And of course that made him crazy. How do you become effortless? How do you sit and not do? How do you not try? How do you have a hunger for this and not want it? And he finally ended up going into the woods, into a cabin really, and sat there for a week after years and years of failure. And he just said, I want this. And in the end, he walked out with it, this experience I'm describing, this the extinguishing of himself. None of these guys knew how it happened or why it happened. But it was very clear that it had happened. And every one of them, in the final moments of talking, did the same thing, which is they just stopped talking. And when they stopped talking, you felt their presence. It radiated from every pore of their being. And you knew that it was your presence. And if any of us shut up long enough internally or externally and find that silence, you will also find that presence. Because when they stopped talking, and I think you probably felt a little bit when I stopped talking, you felt it. You felt for a moment this little bit of awkwardness, and then you went. So I used to do that with Rudy all the time. Rudy would talk and talk, and then suddenly he wasn't talking. And I would go, he's not talking. And then something in me would go click, 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 and then silence. And I just sat in Rudy's presence. And his presence was so much more eloquent when he wasn't speaking, but his speech calmed me down in a way and led me to the silence. These guys were doing exactly the same thing. They were just talking about their experience, but the experience was not wordful. It didn't come out of speech. It came when speech was over. And as soon as they stopped talking, it was like, and each of you sitting in this class has moments of that. The reason this awakening is possible for you, for us, is because for some reason you've dragged yourself out of bed on a Sunday morning and came here. And many of you have been coming here for a decade or more. Some of you are saying, why haven't I found it? Reasonable question. But it appears to be, and it's interesting to hear this from other people talking, that your life struggle is an important part of this. That not getting, not understanding, suffering, working hard in the world, confusion, all of these things are part of the mechanism of awakening. Although awakening is instantaneous and available, and you can have glimpses of it throughout this time and practice, I think true extinguishing of the ego mind is a product of a very intensely lived life. But it's not just an intensely lived life for itself. It's an intensely lived life in which seeking is part of it throughout. You can't just live an intense life and expect awakening to occur, although I suppose it can. But if you bring to it the equation of help me, knocking on the door, asking, if you bring that to this regularly as part of your daily practice, those two elements, the effort, the reaching, the wanting, and ultimately the frustration of not getting and the surrender, are all part of the work. It doesn't appear to me that this is given casually. I don't know what each of these guys did to earn their awakening. I don't understand necessarily the idea of multiple lifetimes and earning it or any of that stuff. It seemed what they really did is they very deeply asked. And they persistently asked. And when it didn't come and it wasn't delivered, they didn't give up and just leave it. They gave up and came back to it. They came back to it because giving up doesn't answer any questions. Because going back into the world and just making money or getting famous or having love affairs or whatever it is you're trying to have doesn't answer the question. Going to church and going to the synagogue and going to the mosque doesn't answer the question. It gives you someone else's answers, but it doesn't answer your question. It may lead you on the journey, but the only answer that you can get is sitting still and going into yourself, which is where the answer lies. It's only within you. It's only within your being. Your being speaks to you loudest through yourself. It will come at you from other people, and in the end you will recognize your being in other people. And other people may give you hints and pushes along the way. But the real awakening is you in your own depth and your own struggle and your own demand and your own crying out in the wilderness for help. And it really takes that. It really takes that. Many of us never experience the wilderness in ourselves until the last hours of our life, when we are introduced to it, when nobody can help you, nobody can hold your hand, nobody can tell you anything. All the people around you, you know, throwing incense and loving you and offering prayers, none of that can help you, because only you at that moment can find it. And only you at that moment can recognize what this journey is about. As I said last week, and I probably said many, many times, the last minute of your life is a very awkward minute to enter the wilderness. You are in that wilderness as we speak. You are there right now. You may have so clouded your reality with obligation and interesting things to do and plans and, you know, I'm going to do this before I die and I'm going to go visit that and I'm going to have this situation and that situation, and we get so caught up in life and so involved in life that we forget what a wild place this is. We forget how existentially barren it is. How in the end, everything we get is lost. Everyone we love, we lose. Everything you reach for has no additive quality in your life because it's all gone. Its only value is, as I've said many a time and you all know, in this moment. In this moment, opening to life and finding this depth of being will flood you with presence and a sense of being home. The great thing about opening, the thing I love most about my meditation every day, is I sit down and I go, and I'm home. I'm back with myself. Now, I have to do that all day long because I'm not one of those people who has had the ego extinguished. If I was, I'd probably be speaking a little differently than I am. But I am, for some reason, teaching you the process of my own day-to-day work. And my own day-to-day work probably mirrors yours a little more than somebody who's already extinguished. And that is, I have to remember over and over, return home, phone home. And I do it by sitting. I just sit. Or I take a breath, which is what Rudy said, take a breath. And there you are. There you are. And if you sit there long enough, what happens, and it's really interesting, is the wilderness opens up inside you. And it truly is a wilderness. Little pieces of mind, little pieces of fear, little pieces of old you start to kind of arise. And to the degree that you just sit and say, hey, hi, and let it go, you go deeper and deeper into the core of your existence. If they come up and they start to distract you, they'll pull you right back out of your home. They'll pull you right back out into the world, into your mind, into the incredible train of thought that pulls you millions of miles away from you. The wilderness inside is test and trial and survival on some level. But really, the depth of that wilderness inside is you in direct relationship with nature and God. In the end, you will lose the battle with nature. You will lose the battle with life. You will lose the life itself as you know it. But what you really will lose is the sense that somehow you are separate from life, that you have to distinguish yourself in life, that you are a lesser or a better part of life. That's what you'll lose. The part of you that we lose is the part that is false. The part that we lose is the part that is not true. It's the part that says that we are a failure or we are the best thing that ever happened. The part that says we are separate from and cut off from another being. That's in the end the stuff that gets lost. And again, it can be lost piece by piece, like dropping it along the way, or it can be lost in one sudden moment of blow out the candle. But we're all on the journey toward that, and bringing yourself to this table, meaning bringing yourself to this room, bringing yourself to sitting every morning or every afternoon or evening, whenever it is you sit, bringing yourself to this journey over and over and over is the greatest human adventure that there is. Because ultimately, it brings you to the only thing that is worth being alive, and surprisingly and bizarrely, it's nothing. It brings you to nothing. And that is everything you want. Any questions?
What was the documentary?
This is a guy who made it on his own. I don't even know what city it was in. It's not published. It's nowhere. He wrote me out of the blue and said, I've made this thing a spiritual documentary. What do I do with it? And he found me online, and I said, well, I don't know. Send it to me. I'll look at it. And I didn't even think I'd have time to look at it, but last night it seemed I had time. So I looked at it, and I truly don't know where one sends a documentary like this. I have no idea, except that it's worthy. I mean, I have a guy, a friend who runs a thing called the Spiritual Cinema Film Circle, but I'll recommend that. Whether they'll show a documentary like this, I don't really know. What's so wonderful is how worthy it is, and that it's there. And you know, and it was really wonderful for me, just because how often do you get to see people talking about their awakenings? Just, you know, regular people. And you know, I'd be happy if you wanted to show it here some point. I'm sure he won't mind. And those of you who want to see it, it's 80 minutes. I'll send out a note. I'll figure out a time to do it, and I'll show it. Which also makes me think that, you know, you most of you know this, but the Rudy documentary is the DVD is finished, and it is so wonderful beyond beyond description for me, because it's so hard to believe how much of Rudy is captured on film, and how much of his energy is actually available. Those of you who watch the movie that we do every year at his samadhi have a sense of it, but this is like 10 times that. And it's just there. It's just so much stuff. And he's giving lectures and talks, and there's images, and there's slideshows, and it just goes on and on. And every little moment of it is so rich and valuable historically, but just energetically. Wonderful. So you can go online and get it, you know, rudymovie.org, I think. Worth it. What I'll show every year now at Samadhi, I don't know. I'll probably just keep showing it as we have. But this year will be Rudy's 80th birthday. Somehow or another, I want to celebrate that, and we'll figure that out as we get to January. But do check that out if you aren't aware of it. It's really quite special. Class will be Tuesday night this week. It's the only Tuesday night class I'll be teaching this period. And then next Sunday I should be here, and my own plans are a little bit up in the air, so more than likely I'll be here the next few Sundays.
The movie, the DVD, is that just what you show, or is it?
No, there's so much more.
Much more.
There was a lot of footage that had never been cut. The movie was culled from a lot of stuff. And the stuff that was not shown now has been turned into separate movies that are their own films, and they are all narrated by Rudy with talks that you haven't heard. Plus, I mean, there's so much there. It's really...
They're edited and
quite beautiful. Quite beautiful.
And Tuesday night, what time is it?
8:30.
Just also a plug for the Wednesday and Thursday night classes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
They're just so wonderful. And the point of making convenience for people in particular geographies, just remarkable efforts being brought to spaces, and certainly invite everyone to come and feed off of that.
I'll even add to that. A lot of people have this idea that I call, it's kind of the Sunday morning church idea, that if you go once a week, you're taken care of in the world. When Rudy taught in New York, there was a class almost every night, and I went every night, and I went every Sunday morning. And if he had taught four times a day, I would have found a way to get there four times a day, because I was really aware of how extraordinary this opportunity was. I don't know how to tell you that the mere fact that this is being presented to you is a gift. It's a free gift. Often for many people it's devalued because it's free, but it's really available. And Wendy teaches, as you know, on Wednesday in Hollywood, and Terry and Brian are out in West LA, and you don't need to go once a week on Sunday morning. you can make yourself more available to this, and the extra effort that you put out is exactly what I was talking about in this class today. These guys who had their awakening didn't have it from a casual investment in their spiritual work. It was a deep and profound hunger. So if you're hungry, go drink. We're making it available a lot.
Yeah, well, Wendy kind of wants to get more students.
Yeah.
Sort of dwindling. New people come for a day at one time, and they just don't come back.
There's no way to do that other than just open up and see what happens. But yes, if anybody is in Hollywood and wants to go on Wednesday nights, Wendy is a wonderful teacher.
Really good class.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming. And if you want a brunch next week, sign up to bring stuff, because we'll have brunch. Thank you.